question of what's God like? I'm learning along with you and sort of sharing things with you that I learn as I read and pray and study about what God is like. And now we're on that one area where I find I know very little, but would like to know a great deal. An area where a lot of people just assume they know everything, because that's the one thing about God that we hear most, and that is the love of God. To be honest with you, I don't really understand God's love. I believe it because the Bible says it, and yet I don't understand it. But I'm trying to. And I've discovered that God's love for us is primarily focused in one direction, and that is in the direction of a father towards his child. Although I have three children, I'm not really sure that I was ever taught or ever knew really how a father is supposed to love his children. It's just something you assume. If you have a baby, you know how to do it. No, you don't. No, you don't. My father never set me down and said, "Now, here's what you have to do to be a good, loving father." He never did that. I never read any books. I never met anyone who claimed to be the authority on the subject of how a father is supposed to love his children. Probably it's an area that men just don't ever talk about. They may talk about how to love a woman, but never how to love a child. This is sort of that no-no area that we as men just never want to talk about. Some who participate in marriage maybe ask the question, "Well, are you going to have any children?" "Well, eventually, maybe we will." "Well, what kind of father are you going to be?" "Well, I'll cross that bridge when I get to it." And you know, a lot of men, I believe, father children, but they never cross that bridge. They say, "Well, you know, if I wait probably 16, 17, 18, maybe 20 years, I won't have that problem. It'll move out of my house and it'll be somebody else's problem. So all I have to do is just hang in there until that kid grows up and leaves home. I never have to learn how to be a loving father." And you know, I believe a lot of men just take that route. They say, "Well, it'll go away in 18 years, and I won't worry about it anymore." Others are saying today, "I don't think I'm ever going to find out because we don't plan on having any children. So I don't have to learn how to be a father." And the woman says, "I don't have to learn how to be a mother." I do believe this. I don't think there's anything more difficult to do than to be a father of children, and to love them as a father should. I guess a lot of men feel it's a lot more important to be a success at their job than home with their family. They spend a lot more time at it. They seem to have a lot more love for their work than possibly they do for their family. I also find this, that it's human to do the thing that's the easiest first, and to put off the difficult things to later on in life. It's easy to attempt, I guess, what is least involved, and there's nothing more involved and complicated than in loving a child as a father should love a child. Sometimes I tell Mary Lou, "I just wasn't cut out to be anything. Everything is too complicated. Everything is too involved. Everything is too hard. I just wasn't built to cope with the complications of life." We don't usually tackle that job that chances are very high that we're going to fail. And brother, in raising a child and being a father to that child and loving that child as he or she should be loved, there is a high risk of failure involved in that attempt. And you may just say, "Well, it's not worth my time or trouble. I'll probably fail anyway." Now, when there was nothing but God, because the Bible says God is eternal, that means there never was a time He did not exist. That right there to me is beyond my comprehension, as most things are anyway. But anyway, when there was nothing but God, He first chose to become a creator. And you know what? He did a good job. He did an excellent job. He reached a state of perfection when it came to creation. His handiwork is a testimony of His marvelous ability to create things. And then He created Himself a man. And when He did that, He also chose to become something more than a creator. He chose to become a father. Folks, it's a lot harder to be a father than to be a creator. It's a lot harder to mold yourself a child as he should be Then to go out and make yourself a box or a chair to sit upon. Not only that, but I believe God wants to be just as successful as a father as he was a creator. Let that thought soak into you. He's already won the best worker award. You can't improve on his creative work. He's already won the best there. And then he aims to win the best father award. You may say, well, what's all this got to do with God's love? Absolutely everything. Because his love towards you is designed to gain for him the father award, period. That's it. The father of forever award, not father of the day or father of the year award. He never once have said that he could create well, but he can't father well. You know, if it's left up to children, I don't think any child would want their dad to father well. They really wouldn't. I don't believe most children really want loving fathers. I'll try to explain that in a few minutes. I believe if babies could vote before conception, they'd probably pick a father that had what I call the permissive attitude. That would be the home in which they would want to be raised. What is a permissive father? And in the eyes of most children, a permissive father is a father that loves them. And I say to those children, you're wrong as you could be. The permissive father says, I'll give my child all the rope he wants. I'll let him choose to make his mistakes through life. I'll let him choose what is right for him and wrong for him. I'll turn him loose and let him be on his own to find his own way through life. I'll not be a hindrance. He'll be the stronger for it. He'll come out all right. And I believe little babies, if they could vote, hey, I want a dad like that. Just turn me loose and let me go and do whatever I want to do. Believe and I'll turn out all right. Well, folks, in case you don't already know it, that is not the philosophy of the Heavenly Father. Not at all. And that is not the way he treats his children. As the ideal creator, there's one thing God could not do, and that is allow for flaws in the design. As also the ideal father, God cannot allow room for flaws in the ideal design of his children. God wants something of you and me besides to turn us free. That's something he doesn't want to do. And as a father, I might say God is still a creator or God is still a designer, only this time it's our lives that he is creating and that he is designing. I believe being a good father, an effective father, is the number one priority of God now with his children. Nothing is of more interest to God at this moment in your life than that he be a good father. That's it. And however he loves you and me, it's going to be focused on the idea it makes him a good father, or he'll never love us in that way. Never will. I guess one of the common shortcomings among men who find themselves fathers is that they can't control their family. And the problem is worse now than it was many years ago. I was talking to Coy before the service. He stood in there. Every once in a while he comes in for church and talks with me. I enjoy his visits. To me, it's going to be 15 soon. And I told him, heaven looks better all the time. Just looks better all the time. But you know, folks, when I was growing up, I was Coy's age, 15, so many years ago. Men had better control over their families than they do now. Something's happened to the men of our generation. We've got fathers, but I don't know if you can really call them loving fathers. I might say there are a lot of them have turned cop-out, and they follow the permissive philosophy. Turn them loose and get them out from under my roof, out of my hair, and however they turn out, that's their problem. They can't control their family. A lot of men don't even try to control them. They leave them up to you neighbors to control them. if you can, or the teachers, if they can, or even the policemen, if they can, just so they don't bother them. Today, a lot of fathers either have negative influence or no influence at all of their children. Scripture makes it very clear the importance that God places on fathers controlling their children. You have a Bible now. We're not going to look at many verses today, but this is one I want you to look at. Look at 1 Timothy, the second chapter. 1 Timothy, the second chapter, begin with verse 1. Chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, verse 1 through 5. This is a true saying. If a man desires to be, and I'm going to insert a word here, it would be good if you had your Bible, it be God's man. But it really says if a man desires the office of a bishop or a preacher, he desires a good work. But there are some real strict qualifications if a man would like to be the head of God's people. Now, he said a bishop must be blameless. He must be the husband of one wife. He must be vigilant and sober, have good behavior, given to hospitality, able to teach, not given to wine, no striker, nor greedy of money. But he must be patient, can't be a brawler, can't be covetous. And then verse 4, a qualification for a man to be God's man. He must rule well his own household. He must have his home under control. He must have his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house or keep his own family under control, there's no way in the world he can take care of God's family. You know, a lot of people today may be looking for preachers for their churches. They want the right preacher. You know what they look for? Is he a good speaker? Some, is he a good looker? Some, is he a good fundraiser? Some, is he good fun? Some, is he a good politician? Some, is he a good mixer? How many ever ask the question, is he a good father? Is he a good family man? We don't ask it anymore. Because even in the ministry now, we're finding many homes, parsonage homes, are getting in trouble, having problems. One of the worst things around town is, well, he's a preacher's kid. Man, isn't that something? We're the very ones that are supposed to have our children under control, and we're the ones getting this comment, preacher's kid's the wildest kid in town. Me, his kids around town. Well, if that's true, he shouldn't be the preacher. Not according to 1 Timothy. If he can't rule his own children, he has no right to try to rule God's children. No way. If you're a failure there, you're disqualified. That's sober. That's what the Bible says. I think many a preacher today has built himself a stained glass cathedral to his honor and glory, but he at home has been nothing but a stained glass failure to his children. Now some think when I say control over the family, I mean making them behave. That's usually what we think. You're talking about spanking them and disciplining them and curfews, laying down the law, enforcing the law. No, I'm not talking about that. That's not what I mean by keeping the family under control. I mean a lot more than that. It means that I, in a real sense, am at the controls, the manipulating controls, and my children are on conveyor belts going into production, and they're going to be made something. But I'm going to be at the controls, and I'm going to see to it that they're made something good. They're made something right. When I say under my control, I mean I'm at the controls. And I'm doing four things. Number one, I'm at the control called promoting their potential. Some men, all they do is promote the sport potential in children. You mean that's the only potential they have? That's about all some fathers ever see in them. Where they can knock a ball 500 yards and up. That would be some potential, wouldn't it? The superstar kid. But what I mean by potential is, will they be useful? Will they be productive? Will they amount to something? Will there be a blessing to anybody's life? What is their potential? We're talking about molding and shaping a child's personality. Not just their talents, but their personality. What will be their potential? Fathers, if you don't do it, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? The other control there is promoting their maturity, their character change, their character guidelines. Thirdly, there's the promotion of relationships. Can your kids get along with brother and sister? Are you just a referee? A fight separator? Are you promoting relationships where they can get along with each other? Brother, if you can teach your child to get along, I wouldn't want to say that they could ever have permission, my permission to get married. What a disaster. If they can't get along with their brothers and sisters and their playmates and their peers, how are they going to get along with anybody to marry? And a loving father, if he does something else, he'll teach his children how to get along. And yet some children, now 50 years old, hate brother and hate sister, and they fight and spit every time they get around each other. Oh, Father, you have failed. No matter how hard that cuts you, you failed. And God says, I don't want to fail with that kind of father. That's one of the hardest things I know of. Picture of a woman sitting there, full color, and says the church in which she is the pastor has been fighting and fighting and fighting, and the law officers have gone to that church almost 100 times. The police have been called into the church to settle the fights. And now they say, we're not even going anymore unless they begin to shed blood. And we say, and God is their father. Isn't he hanging his head this morning in shame that the whole Harris County has seen one of God's children can't even get along with another one of his children, and all they're doing is fighting with each other. I mean, literally fighting. That's not the kind of children God raises. But you know who gets blamed for that? Like father, like son, like father, like daughter. And God knows that. So God, as a loving father, says, I must promote relationships in my children. Boy, that's one of the hardest things I guess there is for God to do, to get the Baptists to love the Methodists and the Methodists to love the Presbyterians. And within our own church, you hear more of fighting and bickering and splits and fusses. God has one of his most difficult times trying to get his kids to love each other. And then, if necessary, promoting enforcement. God says, I'm going to be a good father, even if it takes discipline. I'm going to be a good father. You're going to quit slapping sister around if I have to whip you. Huh? Now, I don't have time to elaborate on all these things, but I want to say this. A loving father, I'll guarantee you, if he begins when that baby says his first cry, if he begins to work and to pray and to mold and shape that child, if he stands at the conveyor belt and pulls the levers, he will influence his children. Don't tell me he won't. He will influence his children. He will promote their potential. He will promote their maturity. And he will promote relationships among his children. When necessary, he will discipline. Don't tell me God can't influence our life. He can, and he will. God has to be a good father. And he wants to be a good father. Even if we don't want him to be, he still wants to be one. I think a lot of children, maybe all of us, were born into God's family in the state of Humpty Dumpty after his fall. And the father comes and tries to put all the broken pieces together again. That's how the father says, I love my children. Take pieces and I'll put them together again. And it may take me 75 years, but I'm going to work at putting the pieces together again. Is that your concept of God's love? Probably not. God doesn't throw all the pieces of our makeup in a washing machine and turn the thing on and leave the outcome to luck. No. It goes with a lot of planning and a lot of caring. God has no intention of flunking as a father. He really doesn't. And God is prepared to deal with problem children because I believe, again, that's about all he has is problem children. I don't think children really are mindful of making their father look bad, but they do. There's always somebody going to say, is that the way your father raised you? Maybe it was, but oftentimes it's not. The Heavenly Father is not raising those people in Burke, Texas. And you know, I was at Diboll, 3 miles from Burke. And somebody's going to say from the world, is that the way God raises his children? No, 1,000 times no. That's not the way he does it. I think a game children best play is called King of the Mountain. King of the Mountain. They begin to play that game early. You know who they play with? They play with Mom and Daddy. King of the Mountain. All that means is that they're going to run the home and they're going to rule the roost and they're going to order the parents around. You know, with God, King of the Mountain is not a game you play. It's his position as the father. I'll say this also, I find that children, as a general rule, are stubborn from birth, and they're selfish from birth. And it seems too, character flaws make it awful hard for anybody to be a father. It's those two flaws right there that's getting that little church in East Texas. One, stubbornness, and the other, selfishness. Being stubborn, children learn to rebel very quickly if they don't get their way. And self-centered, selfish, they always want to get their way. So it's just natural, you see, for a father to have a real problem in this area, raising children. Now, a loving father does what? Puts up with it, tolerates it, excuses it? No. Don't let your children remain rebellious. Don't let your children remain selfish. And then go out and marry some poor girl or boy. And move in next door to some old poor neighbor. And go to work for some old poor boss. You'll drive them up the wall. Nobody can tolerate a stubborn, selfish person. Nobody. It's more important that God get rid of stubbornness and selfishness in our life than to give us all the things we want. And that's what we normally think of as loving us. If you owe me a dime, Daddy. Now, if I loved you, I'll make sure you're not selfish and stubborn. I don't get that dime and I fall on the floor and I kick all the furniture and I tear up the rug and break out the window pane and you just let me do it. Are you loving me? No way. No way. I get older, I may tear my wife's hair out and steal the rug up. It's happening. Where do you think all this women brutality has been talked about today? What's happened to them? Well, you got a problem. You got little boys who grew up to be men that got married and they're stubborn and they're selfish. And some father back there didn't do one thing from the year one on to do anything to stop them. Let them go. And now somebody else is being beaten and battered. Children are being abused and shipped to emergency rooms. I don't say their father loved them by just turning his back and letting them have their little fits. No, God is a loving father. It's not easy to be a father because a father has to do what the child doesn't want done. A child's future is right now. He sees no father in the first 3 minutes of every day. But the father sees down the road a marriage and a job and a life and neighbors and policemen, your potential, your worth, your abilities, your talents, your possibilities. He sees the blessing you can be to him and other people. And he loves you too much just to let you go. Just to let you go. To give you all the rope you want. Brethren, that's not love. If you can teach your child not to be selfish and not to be stubborn, I'll guarantee you, you'll have a rare blessing indeed. A rare blessing indeed. God says, I love you. He means I want the best for you. I want to give you the best kind of life. I want to make you a beautiful person. Because only beautiful people have joy and contentment, fulfillment in life. I have your best interest at heart. You may not think so. You may not know so. And right now you may not agree with the way I'm loving you and the way I'm treating you. But I'm at the controls and I have a plan. I need to produce into your life certain character traits. You may not agree with me right now, but down the road, someday you'll see I was right, and you'll thank me. Not right now. You may think I'm harsh, but later on, my child, you will know I loved you. You'll know. If I didn't love you, I'd give in to all your whims and your wants and your whines, and I'd just leave you a chance. But that's if I didn't love you. I wouldn't care what happened to you. I wouldn't care how you ended up. I wouldn't care what kind of trouble you got yourself into. I wouldn't care about the hardships you're going to face in the future. I just wouldn't care if I didn't love you. I'd just leave you alone to ruin everything you touched and to bring misery to your life and the lives of other people. I'd just leave you alone. But I love you too much for that. Your life is too precious. But I love you as a father. But I want to be a good father. I want to be known as a good creator and a bad father. I want to be known as a good creator and a good father. And I'll show you I love you by being a good father to you. Someday, you'll thank me. And I'm willing to wait someday. Father, we are thankful this day. As we begin our prayer always with Father, May we take knowledge this morning of the kind of love you have for us. Continue to work with us. Truly in all eternity, we're going to say with assurance, you did love us. So many times we did not think you did, but there was a greater purpose than we understood. We're thankful this day that you are motivated by that kind of love for us as children. For surely we must admit we need it, and we need it desperately. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.